And rock a boatus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
Brett, delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
Yes!
What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
No, when we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will blow your mind and move your heart so you will never be the same again.
Ah, stubborn children, declares the Lord, who carry out a plan but not mine, and who make an alliance but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Apologia Radio. Back, I just landed a little over an hour, I think, ago, something like that. So we are back and ready to go. I wanted to be here for this episode because, what?
A little loud.
Is it loud? Yeah. Sorry. Mine's not working over here. There you go. Okay. Wanted to be here for this episode, so we came straight from the airport to Apologia Studios to get set for today's episode because we have a lot to talk about, important things. If you would, share this across dem internets, across social media platforms. You're going to want to, because if you believe in the Word of God, if you believe that Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if you believe that God's Word is the ultimate in the world, then you're going to want to share this episode because there's some big things happening right now in the world, things we've been praying for a very, very long time. And we want you guys to participate with us. I want you to put your hand in my hand and join with me as we work together to bring the gospel into conflict with some very important issues. I'm Jeff, they call me the Ninja.
What? Oh, I thought you were asking me to join hands with you.
Oh, yeah.
Happy Valentine's Day.
That's right. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. And that's Luke the Bear right there.
What is up?
Joy the girl.
Hello.
Hey, so lots to talk about. So the verse that I shared at the beginning here was Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1. God says, "Ah, stubborn children, declares the Lord, who carry out a plan but not mine, and who make an alliance but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." What are you hearing it already, Luke? Are you guys hearing it about unholy alliances? About making a plan, but not of God's spirit, and that they may add sin to sin. Who's that sound like? Well, from my perspective, it sounds like the pro-life movement.
Oh.
The pro-life movement making
Donald Trump.
An unholy alliance. The pro-life movement pretending neutrality. The pro-life movement saying, no, we don't want to use Christian language. We don't want to talk about Jesus. We don't want to use the Word of God. We don't want to use words like murder. And we want to fight this battle, but we want to do it apart from the gospel and the biblical worldview. We want to do it with neutrality, and we want to do it with more of a secular vision, secular worldview. And that has impacted us dramatically over four decades of child murder, child sacrifice in our culture. It has been devastating to us to allow Roman Catholics to lead in the area of the pro-life movement. It has been devastating to us to actually try to engage the issue of abortion from a neutral perspective. We have lost, and I want to say that I agree with Senator Joseph Silk, who I just sat down with in Oklahoma 2 days ago, that the pro-life movement has no intention of ending abortion. Their plan isn't right now to end abortion. It's to regulate abortion. And I know that you guys hear us talking about abortion a lot here, and that's because it is a very, very important issue for us to Love Our Neighbors in. We have over about 3,000 children a day that are murdered in our country. Yep. This is the United States of America, about 3,000 children a day. I'd say that calls for us to spend a lot of time working on this together. Of course, we're going to have lots of other episodes. We talk about the cults. We do the Word of God. We unpack the Word of God. And all that is a part of what we do at Apologia Radio. But right now, there's a big, big thing happening in the state of Oklahoma. It's happening in other states as well. We're working ourselves on it. You have Christians now engaging with their local legislatures. That has been one of the goals for 2019 with End Abortion Now, was to have the Christian church now, particularly, hopefully, the leadership of the Christian church, local churches across the country, pastors, to go to their local magistrates and to bring the gospel into conflict with abortion, to preach the gospel and to preach the Word of God and God's standards at their city councils and with their local legislatures. That's been happening now across the United States of America. Pastor John Speed, our good friend and brother, actually just posted his. It's making its rounds, and Fox and Friends saw it. And they asked him to come back on. He'll be on Saturday.
No kidding. Yeah, I missed that.
He'll be on Saturday. He was just on because he closed his business, his bookstore in New York, for the day to mourn what New York had done. He made the rounds, was on Sean Hannity, was in Fox and Friends, and maybe Glenn Beck. I think so. That's right. Yep. And Pastor John just went before his local legislature.
Which was it, Syracuse?
Oh, I forget the city itself. I'm not exactly sure. But you are going to see this happening a lot this year. If you guys are teamed up with us with End Abortion Now, under the banner of End Abortion Now, that movement. If you are teamed up with us, you're going to see that happening a lot, and we hope that you also participate.
Yep.
Because we're going to be doing it consistently. That's what we have to do to end this, is do it from a Christian perspective and a biblical worldview. So what's happening in Oklahoma right now, I'm going to just sort of throw this out there so you know what we're talking about today as a start. We have other things to talk about, but this is a big one in Oklahoma right now. Marcus, you can come on. You can come on and say hi. And I'll give you a second. Mark, just so you know, Marcus and I just landed from Oklahoma, and so I have my food here. Marcus, I'm going to let you jump in for a second and just give us some thoughts on Oklahoma.
We met with Senator Joe Silk. Yep. It was fantastic. That guy's really solid dude, and he knows what he's doing. And SB 13 is a really well-written bill that... the pro-life organization should get behind, for sure.
What is wrong with the pro-life movement?
You're asking me that?
I'm asking.
Okay. What's wrong? The problem with the pro-life movement is Isaiah 31. It's an unholy alliance that mixes sin upon sin. So it says, in order to correct this sin, we're going to come together with another sin, which is ecumenicalism and cowardice and fear, I think, a lot of fear. And I think an example of this was, if you read the pro-life organization's articles, like Life News, I think it was, where they wrote about SB 13 and the rally, there's hundreds of people there. They're all supporting this. And then Life News mentions it in a paragraph, and then the whole entire rest of the article, two-thirds of the article, is just complaining about like these sort of bills. Like one of the complaints was, well, if this goes to the Supreme Court, we have to pay for the pro-choice's legal fees. And it's just like, are you serious?
Oh my God.
Like that's your concern with this, is that it might lose and you have to pay for pro-choice's legal fees? It's ridiculous. And so it's just all these things. The pro-life organization, I think Silk said it best, we're the pro-life organization. We have to dismantle the pro-life organization if we're ever going to see abortion ended.
Yep.
So. Thank you, brother.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. So that was Marcus Pittman. He is working right now. He was with me in Oklahoma working on babies are still murdered here. Babies are murdered here too. We got a lot done. We have a lot to share with you guys. So I will tell you guys right now, very important thing happening in Oklahoma. Listen, this is something I'm very passionate about, and I hope that you are passionate about it as well. We talk as Christians all the time about the sin of abortion, the need for forgiveness and salvation for those who have actually committed this sin. We talk about the devastating impact that abortion is having on our culture, and we talk about the horrifying nature of abortion in terms of dismembering other image bearers of God, the slaughter of innocent children to the tune of about 3,000 children. Image bearers of God every single day are murdered in our nation. We talk about how horrifying it is, how disgusting it is, and how we want it to be ended. Well, let me tell you right now, here is the moment we've been waiting for. If you've been praying for this, if you've been talking about abortion with your friends at coffee shops, how evil it is, talking with your family at holidays about abortion and how evil it is, if you've been at church with friends and Bible studies talking about abortion and how evil it is, if you've been sharing things across your social media about New York or whatever else it may be, and you've been begging God for the moment where we can end abortion, let me tell you, right now in Oklahoma, it is possible. It is happening right now. Senator Joseph Silk is a believer in Jesus Christ. He entered into this arena as a senator to end abortion, to criminalize it, to do away with it. He didn't care if he got reelected, and he did get reelected, so praise God for that. Now, he put in SB 1118 about 2 years ago. Do you know who killed SB 1118? Oh, everyone says, well, the liberals, right? The Democrats. They killed SB 1118. How come they weren't letting it get heard? Well, the liberals and Democrats, right? Nope. Do you know who killed SB 1118? The pro-life establishment.
Yep.
The bill to end and criminalize abortion in Oklahoma was killed by Tony Lowinger, National Right to Life, the pro-life establishment. They killed SB 1118.
Well, we talk about God's sovereignty. Oh, shoot. Quite all of a sudden. Talk about God's sovereignty and all this, though. Realistically, an abortion now may not exist if it wasn't for Tony Lowinger being a bonehead.
Yeah.
Right, because that's kind of what sparked us, where we're like, we got to do something else when we found that out. So
yeah, it was right then. Well, that's where we purchased. It was during the Tony Lowinger interview that I did with Tony Lowinger that we purchased the domain name and abortion now. Yep. We saw all of this resistance from the pro-life movement. We said, no, we have to take this to the next level now. And so that is where End Abortion Now came from. So thank God for these turbulent moments. Actually, Brian, my buddy Brian, our buddy Brian, had breakfast with him before he did some interviews yesterday morning. And he gave me this analogy, and I love it. I wanted to share with you guys. He said these moments, like with New York and SB 1118, where you have this resistance, or you have this horrifying thing like New York celebrating killing children up to birth and all the rest. He said it's very much like, you know, flying on an airplane. He said an airplane is an unnatural thing, right? You're flying in a tube at hundreds of miles per hour.
Tricking the air, as our friend
tricking
says.
Tricking the air. You know, you're flying sometimes over the ocean for 14 hours with nothing below you. And if something goes wrong, there ain't nowhere to land. And you get used to it. You get in this tube and you just get up there, and the first few times, maybe a little, you know, nerve-wracking, but you start to fly around and you're used to it. You know, it's just no big deal. But in those moments where there is very serious turbulence, that's where you're reminded. Nothing about your circumstances has changed. Mm. You've been flying in the airplane the whole time. You just forgot how dangerous it was until those moments of turbulence. And Brian just brought up a good point. He said, what we're dealing with right now with New York and all these things is very much like turbulence on an airplane. It hasn't changed our circumstances. Mm. It's been going on all along.
That's a good point.
But all it did was remind you that this is a very serious situation you're in right now. And I think that's a powerful thing, and that's what we see. So SB 1118 happened about 2 years ago. Tony Lowinger was asked, how should they vote, this pro-life legislature, how should they vote in Oklahoma for SB 1118? And he told them not to vote on it. Did you catch that? The vice president of one of the world's largest pro-life organizations told a pro-life legislature, do not vote on this bill to criminalize abortion and to end it. And why? Because it would do away with all the pro-life legislation that's in place. And to that we say,
amen.
Amen. Naturally, right? Because it would call abortion what it is. It would define it properly, and it would criminalize the act itself. All you need is that. And so very important to know that right now, I got back from Oklahoma, being with Senator Joseph Silk, The interview is up right now. Sorry about that, guys. The interview is up right now at Apologia Studios. Don't go watch it just yet, but please watch it after this, where I was with Senator Silk in his office. You need to know about SB 13. SB 13. Hashtag it, SB 13. If you want to be a part of this with me, then partner with me right now. Not merely with your prayers, please do pray, but partner with me right now by listening to that video and doing what we share with you here. SB 13 would criminalize, abolish, end abortion in Oklahoma now. It would be over. It would be a criminal act in Oklahoma. And somebody says, yeah, but wait a second. What about Roe v. Wade? And my answer to that is we need to pull our kids out of public school.
Yeah.
Because if you think that courts can make laws, then you probably have a public school education. And isn't that funny, too? Like the state as it is today, the overblown nature of the state today, the overreach of the state today. What do you think that they'd be teaching our kids in public schools? Probably the things that are in accordance with what they're doing. The Supreme Court cannot make law. If you look at our Constitution, Congress makes law, not the Supreme Court. And so the Supreme Court offered a terrible bootleg opinion in the 1970s. Mm-hmm. It was wrong at its basis. It's easily disproved today. It was a terrible court opinion. By the way, this needs to be heard. Because we need to get Republican judges on the Supreme Court. We need to get conservatives on the Supreme Court. Who do you think gave us Roe v. Wade? Republican judges.
Right.
All right. So that when we start talking about, we just need to get Republican judges and conservatives on the court. That's who gave us Roe v. Wade. And so you need to hear that. And courts can't make laws. Supreme Court does not create law. So when someone says, what about Roe v. Wade? The states have the power and responsibility to interpose between these children and an out of control, wrong court opinion. The Supreme Court cannot make law. And so the states have the right to actually create a barrier between a murderous state and federal government and these children. They do it all the time now. Just think for a second about Colorado. Colorado says, go pound sand to the federal government with its drug laws. So does Washington. So does Arizona. So does California. And do I need to keep going? Or how about the states that actually have defied federal law when it comes to sanctuary cities? Mm. Sanctuary cities. Right? Federal law says A, about undocumented immigrants, and the states have said, well, we'll set up sanctuary cities. So one of the things Pastor John said before his city council is that you as city council have the obligation and the power to create a sanctuary city here for unborn children. Create a sanctuary city the same way New York has done with undocumented immigrants, the same way California has done in some cities with undocumented immigrants. Create a sanctuary city as civil magistrates to protect these children. Ban and criminalize abortion in your city. If someone says, well, that's really courageous, I would say that's what we need today is courageous men and women who are willing to stand up for these children. SB 13, hashtag it, SB 13 in Oklahoma is happening right now. And I'm going to tell you right now how you can help. It doesn't matter if you're in Oklahoma. It does not matter if you are in Oklahoma. So please hear me on this. And please give me your commitment that you're going to do this right now. If you're on a laptop right now, keep this running in the background. Make another tab and start writing an email. You're going to write an email to smalley@oksenate.gov. Yes, smalley@oksenate.gov. smalley@oksenate.gov. That's where you want to send that email. You want to put in the description line, you want to put, please hear SB 13 immediately. Please hear SB 13 immediately. Write a body to the document and sign your name to it. You do not need to tell them where you're from. All we need is Senator Smalley's email to get flooded with support. Please hear this. Please hear this. Do you know what's separating right now? The ability to hear this bill on the floor with a pro-life legislature and not hearing it? It's public support. There were hundreds of people just the other day in the state capitol just crying out for justice and pleading. And that, listen, please listen to this. And that got these other senators coming to Senator Silk and saying, is it going to get heard? I'll vote on it. Mm. When they saw the public support and the hundreds of people in the state capitol, they said, okay, all right. Because you know why? Because these senators are only human. And what they recognize is if there is resistance to a bill and no public support, they can't get behind it. But if they get the sense that the public is behind this, they want it to take place, they'll be courageous enough to vote for it. We need to let them know that we will actually support their stands for righteousness. So I'll say this again, smalley@oksenate.gov. That's where you send that email. And you want to make sure, again, you put there in the description, hear SB 13 immediately. Write a body to it, plead for the lives of the unborn, and then put your name. You do not need to tell them where you're from. We just need Senator Smalley's email to fill up literally with a million names. Now, if we do this together right now and you share this with us, we can do that. We can get them to hear this on the floor. And I want to say this, please hear this. What we need is we need this bill to come to the floor that actually does what we all say we want. And that's to end abortion, mm-hmm. to criminalize it once and for all. And if it goes to the floor, it's going to force these people who profess to be pro-life to actually be consistent with their mm-hmm. convictions, because that's what this bill does. It right. ends abortion. It's not playing around the edges of abortion. It's not legislating things on abortion in terms of, like, well, wider hallways. You need to have a nice, clean waiting room for the women. Did you know that actually is what Arizona pro-life, the pro-life organizations in Arizona did?
Yeah.
I saw it today. They actually were celebrating the fact that they actually had put in bills. Shame on you. Mm. I'm going to say this as a pastor. Shame on you for daring to celebrate taking Christians' money, as a pro-life movement, and actually having the gall to celebrate when you got certain restrictions around abortion mills, and telling your supporters who gave you their money that you had a victory. You did not have a victory. When you give a 9-page document to get into effect that says things like, well, wide enough hallways, and there needs to be like a place for the women to change, and there needs to be time between here so they can rest and relax. That, brothers and sisters, that's not what it means to be pro-life.
Right.
And that all that has done is it's created an industry called the pro-life industry. Let me just say this to once and for all. Please hear me on this. At Apologia Church, End Abortion Now is just a banner, an idea under which we want to get churches across the country to start bringing the gospel into conflict with abortion. And we want to give everything away to you. We want to help you. That's what we've done. Over 300 churches now have received free resources and free training from Apologia Church. We haven't asked for anything. We just give it all away. And it costs a fortune to do it. Mm. Trust me, it really does. But let me just say this to you right now. We do not want to take another penny, not one more penny in the area of abortion, because we want it to be ended. Every bit of our effort is not to create an industry with Apologia Church where we are just perpetually asking for donations to end abortion. We only need these donations and this giving now because we're seeking to end it. I am begging God for the day when we never even ask for a single cent again to fight Amen. Abortion, because it's done. It's criminalized. There is no industry happening here. Do you know what's going to be amazing is when abortion is criminalized in Arizona and all over the country, you know what's going to be amazing about that is this. We can stop talking about it except to praise God. We'll never ask for another. We don't have any more funding drives. There's never another penny raised for it. And guess what it'll do to us? Guess what it'll do to us financially? Guess what it'll do? Nothing.
Yep.
Nothing. We won't have to sell buildings. We won't have to lay people off, because we will have an entire mission completed. And then guess what? We're done.
Yep.
That's all there is to it. What keeps the pro-life industry in position and running is, well, someone's going to pay the mortgage on that building, mm-hmm. and somebody's going to pay all these employees. And what are we going to do if abortion is over now? What are these people going to do about their jobs now? Mm-hmm. You see, when it's a ministry of Jesus Christ's church, it's just one ministry among a number of ministries. And when that ministry is successful and it's over, guess what? The church doesn't go away. The church is still happening. The church is still growing. Now we redirect attention. Okay, now we've conquered and brought abortion under the feet of Jesus. And so now let's work over here in this area. And then let's work on this cult. And then let's work on this area, because it's the ministry and church of Jesus Christ. All right, guys. So that's my spiel for now. I have more to say in terms of Oklahoma, but I want you guys to feel free to jump in right now.
Well, for clarification, who is Senator Smalley and why does it matter?
Senator Smalley is in control of what bills get heard on the floor. Okay. So it's up to him right now to bring it to the floor. And I've heard good things from Senator Silk in terms of Smalley's not opposed, but it's just a question of whether there's going to be enough public support. Yeah. And there's fear, because when you put a bill like this on the floor, it is going to create controversy, necessarily so. So Senator Smalley is in control at the moment as to whether this is heard on the floor. And that's why we need him to get as many emails as possible. Listen, please hear me on this. Guys, with all my heart, this is that moment. It's here. It's arrived. Everything we ask God for, a man of God who believes in Jesus Christ, who submitted to him, who's consistent, who wants to end abortion, to criminalize it, to end it, not play with it, not play around the edges of it, but to end it. It's happening right now in Oklahoma. I want to say this. Are we hypocrites? Are we actors? Are we pretenders? Do we just see evil things happening around us to our preborn neighbors and just throw our fists up and clench them and then just go about our business? Because this is that testing moment where it tests the truth of what you say. It tests your resolve. Are you really serious about it? And listen, I want you to know this. I am not trying to play with your emotions. I'm being as straightforward as a minister of the gospel as I possibly can right now. In Oklahoma, it's happening. It's happening with a believer in Jesus Christ, a saved man who knows the Lord, who is trying to end the slaughter of children. It's happening now. If you've ever wanted to see it ended, then I need you to partner with me right now and make sure that you send that email. Make sure it happens. Stay with us over the next couple of weeks as we work and pray and ask God to once and for all end abortion. Listen, if it falls in Oklahoma, if it's criminalized in Oklahoma, if justice is brought here in Oklahoma, then you mark my words, it will now spread like a brush fire across the country. Because then you'll have senators and congressmen and everyone else across the country that goes, hey, it can be done.
Yeah,
this is what we're asking for. It can be done. And then other states will get courageous enough to do the exact same thing.
So, well, I mean, the flip side, we've talked about this, is what you have with New York right now. They get it, right? The pro-choice side of things gets it. They're passing the bill because they understand that they have states' rights, so they're doing this full-term abortion thing. And then you saw immediately what happened. Within like 2 or 3 days, you had like 5 other states proposing the same bills. And so it works. That's how it works. And, that's just the negative way.
Yeah.
But it can be done from the pro-life side as well.
Well, and they're not trying to repeal legislation about wider halls.
Right.
They're just saying it's legal.
All the way. Right.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Not the method they're using.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you saw, I think we talked about this, the big win for the pro-life senators here in Arizona last year was they made it so that if you are having an abortion, you have to say why you're having an abortion. That was their bill. That was their big win.
Yeah. Big win. They were bragging.
I don't even, what does that even accomplish?
Bragging. I'm putting the email in here for you guys right now. Okay, Senate.
I think somebody already.
.gov. Yeah. Okay, good. Okay.
Every once in a while it gets thrown in.
Okay, good.
It's just, I mean.
And that was so shocking to us to see the pro-life movement in Arizona celebrating that fact that we created legislation where, you have to announce something or whatever. And it's interesting too, because this is happening right now. I know that Abby, what's her name again? Abby Johnson is one who is in the pro-life industry, who actually was speaking today on the heartbeat bill. On the heartbeat bill. Now, let me just say this to you, brothers and sisters.
Which
please,
they just passed in Mississippi, here, I saw.
I know that I'm making enemies right now by saying what I'm saying, but I need to be a faithful minister of the gospel, be faithful to the truth, and to be consistent. So please hear me on this. This is not me being arrogant. I assure you it's not arrogance. It's a desire to honor God and to be consistent. When Abby Johnson, who is a major contender in the pro-life industry, when she advocates for the heartbeat bill, please understand something. It's so easy for the abortion industry to get around that one. I spoke to a woman today who is a nurse who actually does the ultrasounds. She said, do you know how easy it is? How easy it is to not find a heartbeat? She said, all you have to do is just move the thing a little bit.
Well, and like your classic ultrasound doesn't even, depending on how many weeks along you are, is not going to pick anything up.
Right.
So like they could just, if you're 6 weeks along, they could just put some jelly on your stomach and
all they have
and
to
be
do
like,
is,
oh, we can't find anything.
Do you know how hard you have to push with that?
Yeah.
All they have to do is just barely touch.
Right.
Now this is the, you're going to trust the abortion industry with this law? This is how they make their money.
Right.
This is how they make their billions of dollars. And you're going to trust them with an ultrasound device to say, find a heartbeat? Do you think, let me ask a question. You really think they're looking?
Yeah.
You think they're trying to find it? You think they're helping the pro-life movement? It's sheer ignorance and stupidity to put a bill like this in to think that it actually is going to accomplish saving our preborn neighbors. You're trusting the industry that is killing children with this. All they have to do is not push very hard, not look very hard. All they have to do is just maneuver it a certain way where they go, no heartbeat. Let's get this on. Let's kill the child. That's all they have to do.
Yeah, they're murdering children for a living. Like you, it's exactly.
You can't trust their word.
All of a sudden, like you want them to have some a level of morals and ethics. You know, can't find a heartbeat. I guess there's some more money.
And obviously the idea is that crazy. If a woman sees her baby and hears the heartbeat, that it's going to change for her.
Right.
And I know that I'm certain that that saves lives every day. I'm certain.
Does.
But I'm also certain that many, many women walk into a clinic knowing exactly what they're doing. Yep. They think of it as a sacrifice for a better life so that their future children can have a better life, so that they can have a better life. And they have they already know that heartbeat is happening, and they've already decided that the benefits outweigh the risks, and that this is the right thing to do for my life, and every child should be wanted, and I don't want this baby. So if it has a heartbeat or not, I've already decided it's going to die.
Absolutely.
Plenty of women, please do not buy the argument that women don't know what they're doing.
Right.
They absolutely know what they're doing. Yep.
That's
many of them proudly know what they're doing.
They yell back at us when we're out there ministering. They yell back at us, I know it's a baby. I can kill my baby. That's right. This isn't the first one I've ever done. I'll do it, and I'm going to kill the next one. They yell back at us, I couldn't give my baby up for adoption. And then they walk inside and they kill their child. They call it their baby.
Yeah.
I could not give my baby up for adoption. And they walk inside and they kill their child. That's why this is an issue of the heart. That's why it needs the gospel to come into conflict with it. And we have to be more consistent. And it's not as though we are up against some very, very difficult arguments. Let me just give you an example of an exchange that took place outside of Planned Parenthood in Tempe, just to give you a couple examples of how easy it is for us to come into conflict with this argumentation. It is not difficult.
What's that?
What's wrong with them being able to choose?
Who being able to choose?
Whoever, man. People should be able to do what they want with their bodies.
So can I rape a woman?
No, you shouldn't do that.
So I can't I want with my own body, can I?
You can do what you want with your body, you just can't do anything with anybody else's body.
So let me try this. A person should be able to do what they want with their own body.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be allowed to just abuse other people's bodies.
Absolutely.
Okay. So in the case of what's happening inside there right now, the woman's body is not dying. It's another body biologically distinct inside of her that is being killed. I'm all for women doing what they want with their bodies. I'm in agreement with you, actually, fundamentally, that we shouldn't be able to harm other people's bodies, which is precisely what's happening in there. I'm glad you joined us.
Mm-hmm. So example number one, and you're going to hear that often, and you guys feel free to jump in here, is that women should be able to do what they want with their own bodies. And all you have to do is get underneath it, right? Mm-hmm. So I should be able to rape somebody, put a knife in somebody. And then that gets them to, it draws out the implications. Then they go, no, because that's violating another person's body. Oh, I see. So we should be able to do what we want with our own bodies, so long as it doesn't harm another body, right? And they, yes. Great. Thank you for that very pro-life argument. Because that's precisely what we're saying in abortion, is that no one's talking about restricting your freedom to self-govern. Mm. We're talking about the restriction on your freedom that's a moral restriction, that you cannot injure and create a victim of another human being, which is what you do in abortion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's that logic applies as long as it is not the baby in the womb.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because then that baby doesn't get a choice. You know, of course, now they're... This is what's infuriating, because you know that everyone knows it's a baby, but when you bring up that argument, then all of a sudden it's not a baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not an actual person yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just all completely subjective. Well, and insane.
Of course, now the way they get around that is that, the baby might be a victim, but so is the mom. The mom is the martyr that has to make this tough decision to murder her baby.
Right.
She didn't want to make any decisions when it came to how you make a baby.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take that away from her anyway, because then she wouldn't be equal to a man who can have as much sex as he wants without getting pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for it to be equal, a woman has to be able to have sexual freedom, just like a man does, because a man will never have to worry about getting pregnant. And so,
well,
there's a...
don't assume genders here. No.
Sorry. And so that's how that redistribution takes place. We have to redistribute power so that women feel equal. And here's a newsflash. It's biology. Women can get pregnant for the most part. I'm not making any comments on fertility or anything like that. But to say, like...
I have to say, how stupid is it that you have to qualify all this? We live in such an ignorant time period that you have to sit here and qualify all this. I understand why you are, but I'm just saying, shame on us as a culture where you have to be a wonderful woman in front of us right now that has to sit here and make all these qualifications about...
Well, and it comes from this victim mentality.
Yes,
exactly.
The same victim mentality that says to a woman... Well, because you were the oppressed group, the female versus the male, which was the group that had all the power, you now get to get rid of the responsibility of being a mother.
Yeah.
And also, here's how we're going to give you power. You get to murder. I'm sorry, that's not even a power that a man gets.
Mm-hmm.
The giver and taker of life is God. So what you're saying to women is, you're God now.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we're going to redistribute power, and we're going to give women value.
Mm-hmm.
No, because in the process of giving women value in that way, you are literally ending the life of women.
Mm-hmm.
Your baby in there is a boy or a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're killing,
mm-hmm.
I guess, according to feminists, you're either killing the patriarchy or your cohort.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah.
What kind of weird, I'm sorry, if you're a Christian, you cannot buy into this. You cannot at all. It's so messed up. And it's totally based off of a secular, humanistic, social Marxist.
Mm-hmm.
It totally ignores the sovereignty of God. It ignores salvation. It ignores image of God. It's not Christian anyway. Mm. You can't make it that. Sorry.
And Joy brings up one of the most important points that is fundamental to all of this discussion, and which is why you can't fight this battle consistently or effectively other than from the Christian worldview. And it is this, is that this whole entire scenario that we're in right now with abortion and all these very asinine and stupid arguments that are constantly propagated by the left and those who are promoting killing children, this is deeply theological. It's all theological. There is no way to make this neutral. It's all theological, because when you go into this arena to fight, people are going to say, well, I say it's a blob of tissue. And the Christian goes, no, that's the image of God. And then you start pushing the person. They go, well, you go, what about science, though? It says biologically has its own distinct DNA from the moment of conception. All the biological components of a human being. Only thing is a difference of degree. And then the person goes, well, yeah, it is a human being, but I think we should be able to kill other human beings.
Exactly.
So now we're getting into the question of morality. Ought we to be able to kill other human beings at will? Now you're getting into theology, because what's the nature of a human being? Is there any value or dignity to human beings? Well, from an atheistic perspective, no more than horses, snails, dogs, or rocks. I mean, what's the big deal? I mean, it's just another random result of evolutionary processes, right?
Mm.
Ah, theology matters. Yep. Now you're getting to the point where you truly can't fight this on the basis of science, merely science. Yes, you can use science, and all biological science demonstrates what the Bible says about human beings in the womb. But once you get past the point where you all agree that the science shows you conclusively that's a human being by nature at the moment of conception, then you get to the next step of the argument, and that's the moral question. Should we be able to kill human beings at will? And now you're getting into the area of theology, because either it's a mass of tissue and it's just a random result of evolutionary processes that doesn't matter any more than rocks, or it's the image of God and it deserves to be protected. So that's why the pro-life industry is a failed procedure in terms of moving through this to win anything. It's failed in its foundations. It's failed in its methodology. It's failed in its end goals. So that's why we have to fight this as Christians. Another example of the very poor argumentation that we're up against.
Well, I'm all for your freedom of speech, and everything, but I still just think it should be up to them. You shouldn't really.
So all moral decisions should just be up to anybody?
Yeah.
So we should be able to molest children.
Free will.
We should be able to molest children. We should be able to molest children, rape women.
No.
That's what you said.
You still have to have morals. Morals are important.
Where does this come from?
It's just life, man.
It's just life, bro?
Yeah, it's life.
It's just life, bro.
Yeah.
It's just morals are just life, bro.
Yeah.
Okay, so the child molester in the cage right now that we've caged up,
yeah,
who kidnapped and dismembered a small little girl after raping her, we put him in jail. Do you think he should be there?
Oh, absolutely.
But he lives by a different moral code than you.
Right.
He believes that what he did is a good, moral, happy thing.
Not necessarily.
He got pleasure from it. Well, there's lots of people today that are pedophiles that enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Why don't you let them have their way? Free will, bro.
A lot of the times, that's usually a psychological issue.
Who says it's a psychological issue?
Scientists.
You're talking about brain gas? Biochemical responses happening in the brain?
Like
neurons?
Neurons
are firing?
Connecting. Yeah.
So you're talking about a condition that's happening in the brain of evolved protoplasm, and the decision led to certain activities, and you're condemning the activity that came from the brain gas.
No, I'm saying that right there can sometimes be affected like a disease. And sometimes
it's brain gas.
Don't really have a control over
it. But it led to an activity. You're saying the activity is wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
On what basis is the activity wrong?
You shouldn't do anything.
Are you an atheist?
Somebody else. Agnostic.
You're an agnostic?
Yeah.
Okay. So coming from an agnostic worldview, on what basis do you call anything wrong?
Anything wrong? What do you mean by that?
You're an agnostic.
Right.
So you don't know.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So someone who doesn't know is making all kinds of knowledge claims.
Yeah, but I still believe it morally, just deep down, the humankind, it's the right thing to do.
Okay. Do you believe that we evolved to get here?
Oh, absolutely.
You believe that our ancestors that we're African apes?
Oh, yeah.
Our ancestors were fish?
Uh-huh.
So we're evolved fish.
Right.
Right? Yeah. And you're condemning certain human behaviors and activities in a universe that doesn't care about us when our ancestors were fish. You're calling one value that's risen up over evolutionary time wrong and one right. Those are arbitrary.
Yeah, but see, sometimes people don't have...
No. Science.
Thank you.
Science is a methodology.
Science she really came to his defense there.
No. Science.
Is that Jesse Pinkman?
Yeah. Science.
Yo, Mr. White.
Yeah, science. I wanted to show, and I actually haven't seen this for forever. But it's interesting how we were just having a discussion that this is deeply theological, and it always comes down to theology, and that's where the argument went.
Yeah.
Is just in that place. It comes down to theological presuppositions or anti-theological presuppositions, which he had. And he's an agnostic. A, without gnosis, knowledge. I'm without knowledge. I don't know. And I said, you're making all kinds of knowledge claims for somebody who doesn't know. You know. And he said, well, deep down, I know. Deep down, how? But well, because we should treat other humans with respect and value and not harm them. Who says? You? Stalin didn't believe that.
Right.
Pol Pot, Mao didn't believe that. Hitler didn't believe that. We certainly don't believe that with these little children. He says, humankind, what's in the womb? What's in the womb from the moment of conception? A human being. Therefore, part of humankind. It's there. Listen, this is not an area where Christians should shrink back or fall into retreat to any degree. These arguments are ignorant, they are wrong, and they lead to the destruction of the unborn. And so stand up, stand on the word of God, preach the gospel in the midst of this. Call people to repentance. Tell the women who have had abortions that they can experience forgiveness and peace in Jesus Christ. But don't do what the pro-life movement does with women in abortion and say that they're victims too. When you say that a woman who has an abortion is a victim, you have now destroyed your ability to create the appropriate and necessary grace of shame that would lead them to the cross. If they are a victim, what are you calling them to turn to Jesus out of it for? I mean, of course, we know that our whole life is a life of sin. We're guilty in every possible way. But if you make contact here with the issue of abortion and you lie to a woman and tell her that she's a victim and doesn't need to repent of it, then she's an unrepentant murderer. How does an unrepentant murderer come to Jesus for salvation? If you're going to try to convince that woman that she's not guilty of it, she's not a murderer, and she doesn't need Jesus' forgiveness for it. And that's what the pro-life movement does. I'll tell you locally, we had a conversation with somebody who is one of the big names locally in the pro-life industry. And she told us that she couldn't partner with us in this effort because we say abortion is murder. And she said that I have too many sisters in Christ that have committed this in their past and I can't call it murder. And I thought to myself, that is so heartbreaking because now you have no message of hope for them. Yeah. Now you're leaving them. Right. And you're leaving them with the hurt, the brokenness, and all the guilt that they, of course, naturally feel. And you're trying to soothe their conscience by saying, you're not really guilty, sister. You're not really guilty. You don't need to repent of anything. You don't need to come to Jesus for that. You're not really guilty. You're a victim like your baby. When else do we talk about that? Did we say that to Chris Watts? Do we say that to Chris Watts? When he killed his wife and his two little girls, murdered them in their bedroom, and then took their bodies in the middle of the night, took them to an oil container and dumped their bodies in an oil container. When he murdered his pregnant wife and his two girls and dumped them into an oil container, did we tell Chris Watts that he was a victim? Well, he would have told you, well, you don't understand. I mean, I met this new woman. And we created this relationship and I was in love with her more now than I was in love with my wife. And my wife and my baby and my two girls were getting in the way of what I wanted for myself to make myself truly happy.
Yeah.
And so in reality, I'm the victim here because my wife wasn't loving me like she should have. And my girls were getting in the way. I mean, Chris Watts can give his entire sob story, but I think all of us would sit there for a minute and we go, yeah, you're a murderer. Mm. You are guilty and you deserve to die for what you've done to your wife and your unborn baby and your two little girls. You're a murderer. You're not a victim. Now, how come when we put Chris Watts's arguments into the mouth of all these mothers, does it now become sensical? Right? Like, oh, this child's getting in the way of my future. I wasn't ready. I was scared. All these different things. We start saying, oh, yeah, you're a victim. You're a victim, just like your baby. No, women who have abortions need the grace of shame that leads them to Jesus, where there is total forgiveness, God never bringing it up again, and God taking every one of those sins and laying them on Jesus Christ, and you will never hear about it from God. There is no condemnation, but the only way to that cross is on your knees. Mm. It's broken. And each and every one of us have to come to the cross broken and receive the grace of shame over our sins. The pro-life movement is lying to women.
I was going to say, that's why abortion can only be ended with the gospel.
That's right.
Because ultimately, you know, you played that conversation. We have so many conversations where ultimately science doesn't matter. That's not the issue. It's a heart issue.
Yeah.
And the only way that abortion is going to be ended is with true heart change. It can only come through the gospel. And that's why, I mean, ultimately that's why the pro-life movement is failing, because as we all know, they don't talk about the gospel. You know, a lot of it is Roman Catholics. And so the gospel is not at the forefront of this. And that's why we are where we are. It has to start with the gospel.
That's right. So again, if you guys are just joining up with us, we have an opportunity now to help brothers and sisters in Oklahoma and bring justice to Oklahoma and to help Senator Joseph Silk, a brother in Christ, who is working to criminalize abortion right now in Oklahoma. It's Senate Bill 13, SB 13. Hashtag it. Let your friends know. Tell your entire church about SB 13. Help me, guys. Join with me in this right now. SB 13, I need you right now to help. I need you to write an email right now to the man who is in control of letting this bill be heard. He needs to know that you support this. He needs to hear from you. It cannot merely be prayer. Mm. Please do pray. Soak it in prayer. Fast and pray all night prayer. But don't do that without moving your fingers to your keyboard and writing an email. It's Smalley, S-M-A-L-L-E-Y, at OKSenate.gov. Smalley at OKSenate.gov. In the description, write, please hear SB 13 immediately. Hear SB 13 immediately. Write a body begging for justice for these children and then sign your name. You do not need to tell them where you're from. All they need is for Smalley to receive thousands and thousands of emails showing support so he knows we can do this. So you can help Senator Joseph Silk right now, who is a believer in Jesus Christ. And you can help us as a ministry by immediately writing that email. Do it now and tell your family to do it. To wives, have your husband also do one. Have your children do them. Have your Bible study group tonight do them. Have your church do them. Tell everybody you know. This is where I think we are tested in these moments to see, do you really believe what you say that you believe? Do you really right. believe it? Are we just going to complain about the slaughter of innocent children? Or are we actually going to rise up and do something? Travis, yes. Smalley, S-M-A-L-L-E-Y, at OKSenate.gov. Smalley at OKSenate.gov. Do it now. You can join with me right now by telling all your friends to do exactly the same thing. Let's get a million emails to Senator Smalley's email. And it starts somewhere. It starts grassroots. And that means it has to have you involved as well. There you go. So is that you, X Trendy X? Look over. Yeah. There you go. All right.
There it is. There's the logo comment
we
for the show.
We seriously get that every
time.
Every single
Let me just
episode.
Say,
That's
please
why we've done a video
stop
on it.
Believing everything that you see on the internet. Just
we
because
just, we our entire show was about the Bible being your ultimate authority
yeah.
and approaching things with the gospel and proper theology.
Right.
A little critical thinking can tell you
yes.
that maybe that's not a pagan symbol.
Right.
And if it was,
yeah.
we would be against it.
Right. The whole thing was Jesus is king. He has yeah. final authority. His word is the basis for everything.
I say that
everything.
With all the grace in the world, but I'm right. just encouraging a little right. bit of thinking.
Right.
A little bit.
You may not get your question answered right away, but it's safe to assume
yeah.
that that's not a demon symbol right
no,
there.
No, no, no. Just because pagans have copied Christians doesn't make what they copied all of a sudden pagan.
Yeah.
The Tricetra is an ancient symbol of the Trinity. The distinction in persons and the same oneness of essence or substance of the Trinity. It's a Christian symbol. So hopefully that helps everybody. And I would just say, don't believe everything you read on them internets, okay? Just because the internet says it doesn't mean it's true. Final word here, and let's talk about Meat Fest.
Yes.
Meat Fest. So this is more of a fun thing right now, and this is yes. where you guys can partner with us in getting the gospel to a very important place. I'll just say this quickly, and then Luke, I'll let you step in here. I have to confess to something. I know that theologically speaking, we all say that our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, principalities, powers. It's a spiritual warfare. There are spiritual elements to this battle. There are demons. There's a demonic attack, demonic activity that happens. Now, even particularly for reform folks, we like to try to avoid this conversation because we see its abuses. But I will tell you that being in Kauai for almost a month, last month, I had some experiences there in terms of the strongholds that are there, the demonic activity, the cult, all the rest. I had some experiences there that I'd never had in my life, and they are continuing for our team that is out there to this very day. And I'll just ask for the amen from Pastor Luke about that.
Yeah, we just heard some stuff.
Yes, some very, very disturbing stuff. You need to know that Kauai is a place with about 70,000 permanent residents. It is a place where news travels fast. It is a place that is wide open for the gospel. It is a place where the cults have stepped in and taken control in many respects of the island. Mormonism, the Watchtower, you have Iglesia Ni Cristo, you have Buddhism, you have all of the New Age hooey, all the New Age nonsense being brought to the island by mainlanders, filling the island up with all of the spiritism, all of the occult. So the difficulty is this, is there are difficulties related to bringing the gospel to an island like Kauai. Not only the difficulty of the cults and the occult, but you also have the difficulty of Christians who have sinful assumptions that see Christians going to an island that desperately needs the gospel, and they say things like, oh, you know, way to cloak a vacation and ministry sort of a thing. You have people that make very, very vile and prideful, sinful comments, not understanding that that place is wide open for the gospel, in desperate need of the gospel. Yeah. It is very, very hard to be there, very hard to live there. I would say, I'll say this, I would have a hard time living in Kauai.
Well, most people don't, myself included, don't know what it's like to live on an island.
Right.
Yeah. The culture is completely different. Very. It feels completely different.
Like, yes. Yeah.
You're in the middle of the ocean on a rock that you can't.
Yeah.
I mean, many people can't afford to leave.
Yes.
Yeah, that they're stuck there.
Like,
that's why
suicide's
so high.
Through the roof. Yeah, there's through the roof suicide rates and drug abuse.
Drug abuse huge on the island. Yeah. Drug abuse is massive on the island. So Apologia Church is very specifically fit, uniquely fit to bring the gospel to that island in a very unique, comprehensive way, with all the occult, with all the cultic stuff, with all the drug addiction on the island. We are uniquely fit to bring the gospel in a powerful way to that island. So we planted a church on the island of Kauai about a year ago. We are heavily invested right now in some very powerful contact in the island with the cults and with the occult. I will say, I'll tell you this much, and just because of time, the activity there over the last month with our team has been something that shocked me.
Yeah,
truly agreed. Shocked me. Mm-hmm. Truly shocked me in terms of the obvious nature of the demonic attacks upon Apologia Church, because we're taking ground in Kauai with the gospel. And so we have a target on our backs as a church. It's a very hard ministry, but we are going and bringing the gospel into conflict with the cults and the occult and addiction in a unique way that isn't being done on the island, or hasn't been being done. So we need help. We need your partnership. Mm-hmm. We need you to join with us. Please pray for us. If you want to be a part of this mission in some way, please contact us. We need support, but we also need financial support, because it's very, very hard to do this mission on the island. It takes a lot of labor, not just on the feet evangelism, but it takes a lot to actually make this sort of thing happen.
Yeah.
So we have a very special thing that we're doing. It's called Meet Fest 2019. We did it before. It's actually what made Apologia Radio possible years ago. The truth is Meet Fest, we created this thing. It's what actually made Apologia Radio a thing. It's how it happened. And here's what we do. When you give a donation to Apologia Church for Apologia Kauai, just $25, for every $25 donation you give, we put you into a special pot where we are going to bless two very special people with a gift. We're going to give you a gift. We're going to select at random through all these people that are partnering with us in this ministry. And we want to just give stuff away and bless. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to fly you out to Arizona. We are going to put you in a nice hotel. We are going to give you a tour of the studio. You're going to meet everybody at Apologia Radio.
Everybody.
And then we're going to take you, you're going to be on Apologia Radio, and we're going to take you to a place called Fogo de Chão and tell them all about it.
Okay. So we should tell them where they can go first. So if you're listening, this is piquing your interest, you can actually go. I don't know. Can you post a link in there?
I should be able to.
You can't post a link if you're not the admin. It's apologiakauai.com/meetfest2019 to where you go. And for some reason, Facebook's not allowing us to put this video on. We made this really awesome video. You can see on the site there. But anyways, so Fogo de Chão, you go there. It's a Brazilian steakhouse. And they literally bring meat around on swords. It's the finest cuts of meat even Joy can attest to
how good the music is. Amazing.
I mean, it's fun to watch a meat on a sword.
Yeah.
It's like that's a whole different. I guarantee you've never had meat sliced off a sword. Someone
just slicing and the meat off on your table.
Unless you've been to Brazilian. Yeah.
And they'll come up and say, how do you want it cooked? And you'll be like, oh, medium. And they're like, oh.
Yeah.
Slice off a medium.
Off a certain
And so they have discs. One side's green and one side's red. So if you want meat, you flip it to green. And if you want them to stop bringing you meat, you better flip it to red or they're going to keep bringing it. And then you're going to have this mound of meat that you're going to feel bad if you don't eat.
Yeah, because they'll keep coming.
To the point where you get sick and you go into a meat coma. And I call it the meat sweats, where you're just very uncomfortable and it's not pleasant. So you want to make sure you flip it to red if you're good. Stay there on the red.
Yeah.
And if you're a vegetarian, Joy's enjoyed the salad bar. And the giant wheel of cheese.
Yeah. They have lots of good cheese and that kind of
thing. The creme brulee is the best.
Yes. So. Yes.
They have all kinds of good little
They do. Things. So that
they
is
don't come on swords.
That's
sorry.
What that's right.
Some of it doesn't come on swords.
That's right. It wouldn't work. So that's what Meat Fest 2019 is. This is a way for you guys to partner with us as a ministry. You're going to give towards a church plant that is very, very necessary, very, very important, and God is doing big things with. And you give us the opportunity to bless two very special people. Perhaps it'll be you, where we're going to, again, fly you out, put you in a hotel, give you a tour of the studio, put you on Apologia Radio with us. You'll sit here with us, and we're going to take you to Fogo de Chao for the best restaurant experience of your life with the whole team. Mm. And that's coming very, very soon. So you can do it right now, today. For every $25 donation you give, it puts, you know, one of those in so we can, you know, bless.
No limit.
No limit at
Many
all.
As
so
you want.
We need your help. We need your partnership. We have a lot going on. All of our ministry we're doing now, whether it's to the cults, Mormonism, the Watchtower, whether it's to atheism, whether it's in the area of feminism and intersectionality with Sheologians, whether it's with Cultish the Show, Apologia Radio, End Abortion Now, all these things don't take place without your participation with us. And so you guys can do the number of different ways. Sign up for all access at ApologiaStudios.com. But in particular, right now, we need your support for Apologia Kauai. So if you want to be a part of this church plant, go to, what is it again? ApologiaKauai.com/MeatFest2019. Yep. There you go. You can give there and let everybody know, and we'll update you guys as we're moving along with that. So that's all for today, right?
Yes.
Sound good? Yes, Anything else, Joy?
Maybe one more time, give them the email and then like explain what they're supposed to put in the
yes.
email.
Yes. So one more time for the email, everybody. Just go to, just write an email to Smalley, S-M-A-L-L-E-Y at OKSenate.gov. Smalley@OKSenate.gov. And when you do, put in the description, here SB13 immediately. And then write a body to it, just a quick thing. Don't need to go crazy with it. Just say, please protect the unborn. Immediately hear this bill. We'll support you. Write your name and send it immediately. Tell your entire Bible study group to do the same, your whole church. Tell everybody you know in your social network that this is going on. Let's pray for Senator Joseph Silk and the work that he's doing as a believer in Jesus Christ in the Oklahoma Senate, guys. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for sharing this content. Help get the word out. Make sure it's not just you that knows about this. Tell the world by sharing this content. I'm Jeff the Coleman the Ninja. That's Luke the Bear.
Peace out.
And that's Joy the Girl.
Yeah.
God bless you guys. We'll catch you next time right here on Apologia Radio.